ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய,
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 ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 6, Conversation Between Narada and Vyasadeva, Text 17, Relation and Purport by His Divine Gaze, Isi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada. O Vyasadeva, at that time, being exceedingly overpowered by feelings of happiness, every part of my body became separately enlivened. Being absorbed in an ocean of ecstasy, I could not see both myself and the Lord. Translation: the transcendental form of the Lord, as it is, satisfies the mind's desire, and at once erases all mental incongruities. Upon losing that form, I suddenly got up, being perturbed, as is usual when one loses that which is desirable. ஸ்ரீ சைத்தன்யம் அனபீஷ்டம் சபிதம் ஜேன பூத்தலே பரமாய ததா த்விசா பரந்திகம் ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ண சைத்தன்ய பிரபு நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத கதாதர சிவாசரி கௌர பக்தவிந்த. ஹரே கிருஷ்ண ஹரே கிருஷ்ண 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 ஹரி ஹரி, ஹரே ராம ஹரே ராம 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 ஹரி ஹரி. So how to become qualified to see, have this vision of the Lord, the darshan of the Lord. This is our goal. We want to also see the Lord. But we have to act in such a way that the Lord will be agree to reveal Himself, because it's not by any mechanical way or not by any force that we can see the Lord. He can only be seen by His own sweet will when He chooses to reveal Himself. Therefore, we're taking this process, sadhana bhakti, so we'll be free from all inebrieties, all mental incongruities, so that the mind will become our friend and help us to serve the Lord. So this is the practice. We're serving the Lord now, and here we see Narada Muni. Also, his senses are enlivened to serve the Lord more intimately, more thoroughly, more with more devotion. So the practice, we give the example of the green mango is also mango, the ripe mango is also mango. But in the green state, the mango is not edible, or not relishable, not sweet. So this is the stage we're going through now. We're also devotees of the Lord. We're also serving the Lord. But we're serving with our material body and material mind. And the day will come, if we go on serving like this, then the Lord will be pleased to accept our service so much so that He'll reveal to us our spiritual body and our spiritual senses and spiritual mind so that we can serve Him more closely. This is the idea. So in the beginning, that requires faith. Why are we doing it every morning, getting up every morning, every day, chanting Hare Krishna? Well, because Prabhupada has instilled that faith in us, that this is not a bluff, this is not some imagination, but there is God, and His name is Krishna, and He's in our heart, and if we become eligible, then we can see Him directly. Just like Narada Muni. And then we'll experience the highest ecstasy. Mundane words can't begin to describe that feeling. So this is the feeling that we're always hankering after. But Chaitanya has also explained that, how Chaito Dharpana Marjana Bhava Mahadavagni Nivarpana Shaya Jivanan Anandamuri Vardhanam Anandamuri. We're looking for that Ananda, just like this word is used in this verse, Ananda, the bliss. This is what we're hankering for. Everybody's hankering for that. But in order to get it, we have to first of all become free from all anarthas, unwanted things. And this is very reasonable. Why should the Lord reveal Himself to somebody who's competing with the Lord, who is not, you can say, in harmony with the Lord. It's like a father, he has one son who is very obedient and very cooperative, and he's helping him in the business. Then the father will reveal all the business secrets, all the customers, all the ins and outs of how to make money in that business. But another son who's rebellious, who doesn't cooperate with the father, who's disobedient, then the father is not going to give him the same intimate knowledge about something which is very important for him. Similarly, why should God reveal himself to those sons who are disobedient? We're all sons, that's okay. This we were reading last night, this verse from the Bhagavad Gita, how Krishna doesn't envy anyone. He's equal to everyone. He's giving everyone what they, according to their desire. But he, at the same time, for the devotee, he gives himself, because that's what they desire. Whereas the non-devotee, they don't desire that. Just like Duryodhana came to Krishna, he wanted Krishna's army, he didn't want Krishna. So Krishna gave him that. Okay, you want some, you can have this. Because he came to the right person. But Arjuna wanted Krishna. So alright, you can have me. So this is the devotee. He wants Krishna. Following in the footsteps of Arjuna, we want to become the devotee and the friend of Krishna. And we want ultimately the Krishna to guide us at every step. Because this is our faith, as mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Where there is Krishna and Arjuna, there will always be victory and opulence and good fortune. So we want good fortune for ourselves. Therefore, we want to become devotees. This is our desire. We want to become devotees. But we see practically being a devotee is not easy, just like I was mentioning last night, because of habit. We're so used to putting ourselves in the center. Sense gratification is so second nature to us that we don't even think about putting something in our mouth before offering it to Krishna. We don't even think about that anything unusual or unnatural about competing with Krishna. It's second nature here in this material world. Therefore, we say the whole atmosphere is permeated with enviousness of Krishna. So we have to be very careful. It's a dangerous position we're here in the material world. And therefore, we should become always alert not to become victim of the material energy. Sometimes the example is given of the patient. Just like if you have pneumonia, the disease of the lungs, then when you're recovering, you have to be very careful not to get cold, not to become in a damp place or susceptible, where you can again aggravate that disease. So in the same way, we're coming out of this disease by Prabhupada's mercy. We are becoming gradually free from the anarthas. But because the tendency is that to take up these anarthas again, so we have to be very careful to keep ourselves protected, not to become, feel oneself more advanced than one is, and to think that one's liberated and then again become captivated by the sense object, by the illusory energy in some way. Like even an advanced devotee like Bharat Maharaj became captivated by the deer cub, fawn it's called. The baby deer is called a fawn, F-A-W-N. So it was so attractive and it was only dependent on Bharat Maharaj, so he became enamored by that and attached to that. Just like we're reading Sneha Bandhana, how the Narada Muni in his previous life here, he gave up that, or he was severed from that Sneha Bandhana, from that attachment of mother. But if again he became attached to an animal, then he may suffer the same fate as Bharat Maharaj, had to become a deer in his next life. So, generally we say the greatest attachment is a man for a woman, woman for a man. So if a woman is attached to a man, that's not a bad thing, because if the man is attached to her spiritual, to his spiritual master, then her attachment to him will elevate her. But if the man is attached to a woman, then he'll become degraded. Therefore, we have to train up. First business is to train up young men how to be brahmacharis. This is our first consideration. The Vedic culture teaches this. There's no school for brahmacharinis. The school is for brahmacharis. Why is that? Because the men are the natural leaders. If they learn how to get a taste for serving the spiritual master, for chanting Hare Krishna and hearing about the spiritual subjects, then they can easily lead their family members. Not only their family members, they can lead the whole world. One person who can see, he can lead millions of blind people if they agree to follow. So, grihastha ashram, sannyasa, it doesn't matter. The main thing that matters is that one agrees to serve the acharya, to serve the spiritual master, without being envious. And that requires training. So, the beginning is brahmacharya. Trained up. How to become menial servant. How to always be humble. Not expecting honor. Be ready to act on the order of the superior at any moment. Then in that state, one becomes qualified to serve Krishna. This is the idea. Then one can render service. Therefore, initiation is required, so we can serve the deity. Otherwise, without initiation, one is not supposed to touch the deity. One is not supposed to make offerings and so on, or cook for the deity. Why is that? Because they haven't been trained. So the training is required, so that one can please Krishna. So this is the purpose of our Krishna conscious movement, and this is the purpose of the Vedic culture, to gradually train everybody to come to this point of surrender. Okay, questions?
Maharaj, in these days, looks like more like, you know, grihastha ashram or namahata is more emphasized than brahmachari life. So,
not by Prabhupada. No, it's natural because there's more grihasthas and more congregation members. So we don't neglect them, but still, Prabhupada used to give the example of shooting the rhinoceros. If you try for the brahmachari, then all the congregation members will also be benefited. There'll be no loss there. Rather, they'll be enlivened. when they come and see how this philosophy is working, how people are giving their whole life and feeling very enlivened and happy because of that, then they'll also become more strict in their own lives. Without becoming dedicated, one won't get the reciprocation from Krishna. So when we see somebody is 100% dedicated, then we'll increase our dedication. That's common sense. Prabhupada came as a brahmachari, sannyasi, to America. He didn't bring his wife and show us how to deal with his wife. No, he came. And so we were all enlivened. Now it's true, many people will have to enter into grihastha ashram, but still, that's only a temporary phase. So brahmachari sannyasis are always the center of the Krishna conscious movement. And when that's not being emphasized, then you're going to find that the preaching will slacken. There won't be any enthusiasm for preaching, or less enthusiasm. So even when we're preaching to the congregation, we should also preach to them to come on this side more, to inspire their son to live as a brahmachari, at least for some time. Just like we're trying to inspire Haripat. Not just bring his son, in, you know, get him married immediately and have him live with you. No, he should, for some time at least. Even the Mormons do that. When their boys are 18, 19 years old, they send them for preaching, I think, for
2 years.
2 years. Yeah. So, that way they have a strong foundation. At least 2 years that they should be brahmachari. So we should, maybe that's not being done now, but therefore we have to revive it. Sannyasis and brahmachari, we should preach on the importance of this. The Grihasthas won't mind if we preach nicely. We're not envious of them. If we think that they, you know, they're all in Maya and they're all useless, then of course they won't like that. But we appreciate whatever they're doing. Their position is also important. They're supporting. If they can support the temple so that we can go preaching every day, we don't have to worry about how to make money, then that'll free us to become better preachers or more dedicated, or more result will come from our preaching. So the combination is there. We're not criticizing them. We're not telling them, oh, you have a wife and two little children, you should become sannyas. No. Do your responsibility. And that'll also be a good preaching example, because when the new people come, then you'll see, oh, these there's a nice cooperation between the grihasthas and sannyasis and brahmacharis. And I think I'm going to become a grihastha in the future. So now I see how they're living. Oh, it's very nice, and they're helping the brahmacharis. Everything can be there. Papa didn't want this big dichotomy between, you know, at one point then the brahmacharis were very prominent and sannyasis. Papa didn't like that because they were misusing their power. And they were going to the temples where the grihasthas were in charge, and they were taking all the young men. And Prabhupada said, this was called fratricidal war. So we don't want that. We want cooperation between all the ashrams.